Chapter 9. Getting in between them and their boats, but this presence of mind was wanting to them, which was the ruin of their tranquility for a great while. We need not doubt, but that the governor and the man with him, surprised with this sight, ran back immediately, and raised their fellows, giving them an account of the imminent danger they were all in, and they again as readily took the alarm. But it was impossible to persuade them to stay close within where they were, but they must all run out to see how things stood. While it was dark, indeed, they were safe, and they had opportunity enough for some hours to view the savages by the light of three fires they had made at a distance from one another. What they were doing they knew not, neither did they know what to do themselves. For, first, the enemy were too many, and secondly, they did not keep together, but were divided into several parties, and were on shore in several places. The Spaniards were in no small consternation at this sight, and, as they found that the fellows went straggling all over the shore, they made no doubt, but, first or last, some of them would chop in upon their habitation, or upon some other place, where they would see the token of inhabitants. And they were in great perplexity also for fear of their flock of goats, which, if they should be destroyed, would have been little less than starving them. So the first thing they resolved upon was to dispatch three men away before it was light, two Spaniards and one Englishman, to drive away all the goats to the great valley where the cave was, and, if need were, to drive them into the very cave itself. Could they have seen the savages all together in one body, and at a distance from their canoes, they were resolved, if there had been a hundred of them, to attack them. But that could not be done, for they were some of them 2 miles off from the other, and, as it appeared afterwards, were of two different nations. After having mused a great while on the course they should take, they resolved at last, while it was still dark, to send the old savage, Friday's father, out as a spy, to learn, if possible, something concerning them, as what they came for, what they intended to do, and the like. The old man readily undertook it, and stripping himself quite naked, as most of the savages were, away he went. After he had been gone an hour or two, he brings word that he had been among them undiscovered, that he found they were two parties, and of two several nations, who had war with one another, and had a great battle in their own country, and that both sides having had several prisoners taken in the fight, they were, by mere chance, landed all on the same island, for the devouring their prisoners and making merry, but their coming so by chance to the same place, had spoiled all their mirth, that they were in a great rage at one another, and were so near, that he believed they would fight again, as soon as daylight began to appear. But he did not perceive that they had any notion of anybody being on the island but themselves. He had hardly made an end of telling his story, when they could perceive, by the unusual noise they made, that the two little armies were engaged in a bloody fight. Friday's father used all the arguments he could to persuade our people to lie close, and not be seen. He told them their safety consisted in it, and that they had nothing to do but lie still, and the savages would kill one another to their hands, and then the rest would go away, and it was so to a tittle. But it was impossible to prevail, especially upon the Englishmen. Their curiosity was so importunate, that they must run out, and see the battle. However, they used some caution too. They did not go openly, just by their own dwelling, but went farther into the woods, and placed themselves to advantage, where they might securely see them manage the fight, and, as they thought, not be seen by them. But the savages did see them, as we shall find hereafter. The battle was very fierce, and, if I might believe the Englishmen, one of them said he could perceive that some of them were men of great bravery, of invincible spirit, and of great policy in guiding the fight. The battle, they said, held 2 hours, before they could guess which party would be beaten, but then that party which was nearest our people's habitation began to appear weakest, and after some time more some of them began to fly. And this put our men again into a great consternation, lest any one of those that fled should run into the grove before their dwelling for shelter, and thereby involuntarily discover the place, and that, by consequence, the pursuers would also do the like in search of them. Upon this, they resolved that they would stand armed within the wall, and whoever came into the grove, they resolved to sally out over the wall and kill them, so that, if possible, not one should return to give an account of it. They ordered also, that it should be done with their swords, or by knocking them down with the stocks of their muskets, but not by shooting them, for fear of raising an alarm by the noise. As they expected, it fell out. Three of the routed army fled for life, and crossing the creek, ran directly into the place, not in the least knowing whither they went, but running as into a thick wood for shelter. The scout they kept to look abroad gave notice of this within, with this comforting addition, that the conquerors had not pursued them, or seen which way they were gone. Upon this the Spanish governor, a man of humanity, would not suffer them to kill the three fugitives, but sending three men out by the top of the hill, ordered them to go round, come in behind them, and surprise and take them prisoners, which was done. The residue of the conquered people fled to their canoes, and got off to sea. The victors retired, made no pursuit, or very little, but drawing themselves into a body together, gave two great screaming shouts, most likely by way of triumph, and so the fight ended. The same day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they also marched to their canoes. And thus the Spaniards had the island again free to themselves. Their fright was over, and they saw no savages for several years after. After they were all gone, the Spaniards came out of their den, and viewing the field of battle, they found about 20 men dead on the spot. Some were killed with long arrows, which were found sticking in their bodies, but most of them were killed with great wooden swords, 16 or 17 of which they found in the field of battle, and as many bows, with a great many arrows. These swords were strange unwieldy things, and they must be very strong men that used them. Most of those that were killed with them had their heads smashed to pieces, as we may say, or, as we call it in English, their brains knocked out, and several their arms and legs broken, so that it is evident they fight with inexpressible rage and fury. We found not one man that was not stone dead. For either they stay by their enemy till they have killed him, or they carry all the wounded men that are not quite dead away with them. This deliverance tamed our ill-disposed Englishmen for a great while. The sight had filled them with horror, and the consequences appeared terrible to the last degree, especially upon supposing that some time or other they should fall into the hands of those creatures, who would not only kill them as enemies, but for food, as we kill our cattle. And they professed to me that the thoughts of being eaten up like beef and mutton, though it was supposed it was not to be till they were dead, had something in it so horrible that it nauseated their very stomachs, made them sick when they thought of it, and filled their minds with such unusual terror that they were not themselves for some weeks after. This, as I said, tamed even the three English brutes I have been speaking of. And for a great while, after they were tractable, and went about the common business of the whole society well enough planted, sowed, reaped, and began to be all naturalized to the country. But some time after this, they fell into such simple measures again as brought them into a great deal of trouble. They had taken three prisoners, as I observed. And these three being stout young fellows, they made them servants, and taught them to work for them, and as slaves they did well enough, but they did not take their measures as I did by my man Friday, viz. To begin with them upon the principle of having saved their lives, and then instruct them in the rational principles of life. Much less did they think of teaching them religion, or attempt civilizing, and reducing them by kind usage and affectionate arguments. As they gave them their food every day, so they gave them their work too, and kept them fully employed in drudgery enough. But they failed in this by it, that they never had them to assist them, and fight for them as I had my man Friday, who was as true to me as the very flesh upon my bones. But to come to the family part. being all now good friends for common danger, as I said above, had effectually reconciled them, they began to consider their general circumstances. And the first thing that came under consideration was whether, seeing the savages particularly haunted that side of the island, and that there were more remote and retired parts of it equally adapted to their way of living, and manifestly to their advantage, they should not rather move their habitation, and plant in some more proper place for their safety, and especially for the security of their cattle and corn. Upon this, after long debate, it was concluded that they would not remove their habitation, because that, some time or other, they thought they might hear from their governor again, meaning me, and if I should send anyone to seek them, I should be sure to direct them to that side, where, if they should find the place demolished, they would conclude the savages had killed us all, and we were gone, and so our supply would go to. But as to their corn and cattle, they agreed to remove them into the valley where my cave was, where the land was as proper for both, and where indeed there was land enough. However, upon second thoughts they altered one part of their resolution to, and resolved only to remove part of their cattle thither, and part of their corn there, so that if one part was destroyed the other might be saved. And one part of prudence they luckily used. They never trusted those three savages which they had taken prisoners with knowing anything of the plantation they had made in that valley, or of any cattle they had there, much less of the cave at that place, which they kept, in case of necessity, as a safe retreat, and thither they carried also the two barrels of powder which I had sent them at my coming away. They resolved, however, not to change their habitation. Yet, as I had carefully covered it first with a wall or fortification, and then with a grove of trees, and as they were now fully convinced their safety consisted entirely in their being concealed, they set to work to cover and conceal the place yet more effectually than before. For this purpose, as I planted trees, or rather thrust in stakes, which in time all grew up to be trees, for some good distance before the entrance into my apartments, they went on in the same manner, and filled up the rest of that whole space of ground from the trees I had set quite down to the side of the creek, where I landed my floats, and even into the very ooze where the tide flowed, not so much as leaving any place to land, or any sign that there had been any landing thereabouts. These stakes also being of a wood very forward to grow, they took care to have them generally much larger and taller than those which I had planted. As they grew apace, they planted them so very thick and close together, that when they had been 3 or 4 years grown there was no piercing with the eye any considerable way into the plantation. As for that part which I had planted, the trees were grown as thick as a man's thigh, and among them, they had placed so many other short ones, and so thick, that it stood like a palisado a quarter of a mile thick, and it was next to impossible to penetrate it, for a little dog could hardly get between the trees, they stood so close. But this was not all, for they did the same by all the ground to the right hand, and to the left, and round even to the side of the hill, leaving no way, not so much as for themselves, to come out but by the ladder placed up to the side of the hill, and then lifted up, and placed again from the first stage up to the top. So that when the ladder was taken down, nothing but what had wings or witchcraft, to assist it could come at them. This was excellently well contrived. Nor was it less than what they afterwards found occasion for, which served to convince me that as human prudence has the authority of providence to justify it, so it has doubtless the direction of providence to set it to work. And if we listened carefully to the voice of it, I am persuaded we might prevent many of the disasters which our lives are now, by our own negligence, subjected to. They lived 2 years after this in perfect retirement, and had no more visits from the savages. They had, indeed, an alarm given them one morning, which put them into a great consternation. For some of the Spaniards, being out early one morning on the west side or end of the island, which was that end where I never went, For fear of being discovered, they were surprised with seeing about 20 canoes of Indians just coming on shore. They made the best of their way home in hurry enough, and giving the alarm to their comrades, they kept close all that day and the next, going out only at night to make their observation. But they had the good luck to be undiscovered, for wherever the savages went, they did not land that time on the island, but pursued some other design. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.